back on here.
Thank you. The delightful part and what you are feeling as excitement and what you're feeling, you know, a little bit of remorse for maybe handling situations immaturely, I don't want to dwell on those things. Those are earth limitations, typical experiences, and you're not expected to be superhuman, just intending to grow beyond those limitations. What you are anticipating and in a way eagerly awaiting are the signs, the earthquakes, the signs of the times. Because at some level of understanding, you know, this is when your service really comes into full flower. And none of you are noted for patience. And you can look out there and you can see, what can you produce? Can you, Sandy, Rick, Ed, Bob, can you personally alone go out and start $500 to $800 million of business? Well, these are the things we have to look at, and as each one looks, you can't see getting over that hurdle. This is the one problem that we had. We already had things going, but as George and Desiree came into the picture, Desiree immediately assumed, since these ones didn't have anything, it would be totally up to them. Well, these are burdens you don't have to bear. God is not going to shower it down on you, but you do have to be prepared to be able to receive it and use it. And these ones were willing to do that. And now ones pitch in and help, so that when the work is done, the wherewithal can flow, and it can flow properly, reasonably, with expectation. You may not go out and expect something for nothing. And that's what ones always start out on this journey saying. This is typical of Wally gentlemen. But we need at least $50,000 before I can consider thinking about this thing. No, you think about it and put it down, and then we'll get the $50,000 when you need it. But I like it ready, right there. I mean, I may need to get somebody to do something. Well, let's cross that bridge when we get there. Well, I don't want that insecurity. I understand that. And now you're ready for the next $300,000. You're going to need it right away. But I can deal with $300,000 right away. Maybe not this afternoon, but you don't need it this afternoon because you're not prepared to receive it this afternoon. Don't tell me a big lie about it. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to cover these bases. And then your belief and trust that you will get what is required because you're ready for it, then it can flow, not until then. So you block your own progress. You become impatient, and your impatience stops it from happening. This is the only what if that I want to hear, is the positive. What if we get it all done and we have the people lined up to start digging the holes? Well, that's not going to help unless you've gone to the landowner and at least ask him to consider, will he sell the land? And then you're going to have to deal with the planning commission. So you're going to have a plan. I can't give you $33 million to start a cellular cement molded housing factory here when you don't even know what you put in the stuff. Oh, boy, I will feel a lot better about it, though, Hatton, when I have the $33 million. And where, pray tell, are you going to park $33 million? I have a lot of volunteers. But I said, park it. I didn't say go spend it. Steward it. What are you going to do with it? How many of you know somebody who can handle multi-billions of dollars in some kind of a trading program internationally? Well, aren't you lucky? EJ and Burma do. So we can kind of work through there a little bit if, in fact, it comes before you are ready with the bulldozer to dig. But it helps to know where you're going to find the bulldozer. These are the things that all of you can do. You can be looking around for the resources, the properties. Doesn't mean you have to go out there and make big, long, lifelong commitments. But you can find out, you see. You don't need to now. We've done it. We know where the wells are. And we know the ratio of water that goes into this town and is allowed for irrigation. And we know the swap-offs. We also know that in the beginning, they're not going to bottom out the prices on real estate, so we'll probably have to pay full price for a lot of these good properties. But if you've got $500 million sitting there and you don't know what to do with it, I think it's better to go ahead and pay the price for the property and face the consequences and let that nice landowner, hopefully you go to landowners that are worthy of the trust of receiving, that have given something so that the reward can be pleasant to you and not represent some ripoff by the RTC or something. So there are a lot of things to be considered, and a lot of things have been considered. And in your impatience, sometimes you forget to see that. And in the workload, plus just the better part of discretion, you don't give your enemy the advantage. Silence is the best approach. So suffice it to say, at this moment, all I can tell you is that it's happening. Years and years of work. Years and years of hard work. And relationship building. And making connections. Do you think that, be it the Philippines or Atlantis off Crete, or out of the mountain underneath Peru, how about Sedona? Do you think they're going to hand over several billion dollars to you without knowing any more than you are a bunch of something out in some place you can't spell or pronounce, who claims to talk for some fourth-dimensional Hatton? No, you're going to have to find that group that already knows who Hatton is. And then both sides of that group have to come into full recognition. There are guardians in charge, charged with the responsibility of this very kind of funding. And most of it's going to come from the most logical earth sources possible into good producing projects. That's your security. And this takes time. And every day, 1,000 things can impact it. And it would always seem that it slows it down, never speeds it up. On the other hand, Colonel Greitz said something to me. He was in a real pickle in Cambodia, and he needed to get out, or he needed to do something. And then things began to go wrong, and everything had been going so right. And so he cried out, "My God, when things are going so right, how can it be? And God very loudly, succinctly, where he could hear it very well, said, "What do you expect when you have not been willing to do the small things I asked you to do?" And he said to me, "Well, brother, I'll tell you one thing." And this was only like 2 weeks ago. He said, "Ever since I heard that voice, I have pled. I have pleaded. Just let me hear it again." And I said, "Fine. How does it go, Bo?" And he said, "I salute you, sir." You're worthy, or you would not be chosen. Don't do yourself in. Don't sell yourself short because you feel unworthy to reap rewards for your service. Don't feel your service is lowly. There is no such thing. There's only service. And when those egos can be put to rest so that all service is equal, then we're over the hurdle and we can receive and we can get on with our work. We owe that much to our brothers here. We don't have to do it, but we accepted the commission to do it, to share the word. But we don't have to do it. And it's out there. Man could find enough truth to find himself his way home with just what we put out there. So if our journey got interrupted this day, we would have served and we would have served well. That doesn't mean that if we don't do any more and our service ends next year, the year after, that we would have done all we could. So we can't ever lean back and ride the waves that someone else is making. Maybe your destiny, as badly as you hate to face it, may be to make those waves at the point. And whoever's willing to be up there, I'm right there too. It's not like you thought. It's better. The way you perceive it to be is Dullsville. I mean boring. And it isn't even pleasant and fun getting there. With all of the wondrous things that the wealthy can acquire and the physical pleasures and lusts they can satisfy, there is hell on this earth. There is no joy. We're having fun, and we're going to have a lot more. And I can't help it if you can't accept it, that it could be you. That's your problem, not mine. But I'm disappointed in you. Because for one thing, I don't want anybody in my crew to think that I would choose so carelessly. That lowers my command. I know better. And like the parent that treats the child with respect, he will reap respect in return. And the child will be more wondrous than the father and mother expected. So I don't have any trouble with you. I wish you didn't. Anybody want to argue with me? Thank you.
I just wanted to say one thing before you left. I wanted to express gratitude for the meditation that I took part in last Thursday night. It was nice to be a part of a group with the goal of learning to take the power that we really have to make a difference upon the plane of earth as we agreed to do when we came. In 1978, I give thanks to God constantly for giving me the keys to the kingdom through a class I took that was taught by Don Beaumont. We all have the opportunity to learn and to really make a difference and help Eitan and Eitan in making this planet through this time. Thank you.
Thank you, and I would like to acknowledge Don. It has been a long time in getting to the point where, quite frankly, that I felt there wouldn't be a pull from the direction that I am having to lay down. Because as ones began to come together, each wanting to give in service, can only pull from the training and the directions that they have experienced. And now you can go into that type of experience and sharing, and your direction is defined. Your goal can be laid out there where you can look at it. And it allows us to move together rather than in fragments, according to various and sundry teachers. I assume I have to be considered a teacher. My job is not really to teach. It is to bring you remembering capability of what you already know. But as ones have been searching for the truth in its wholeness, you are unable to go directly to a resource. You could not have come to Dharma. I wasn't even around her in her consciousness until 4 or 5 years ago. So you go searching where you're drawn, and you cannot fulfill your mission now without those experiences. There's no way. You had to have those experiences. So don't be saying, well, if I hadn't done that, or I wish I'd done the other, or I shouldn't have done that. No, you did what you needed to do to get you here today, right here today. I know Al will say to me, well, I didn't need to have so many of those experiences. Well, I suggest you think about that. Obviously, you did. You don't make errors. You have lessons. And if you get hung up on them and perceive that I cannot do this because I might make an error, then you've really made one. If you learn all you can and you know your direction and you know your goal and your heart is set and your subconscious is programmed toward that goal, you're going to get there. And yes, there will be perturbations along the way, and you will even perceive them as errors. But a child must learn by trial. He doesn't always have to make the error, but it's usually a course of trial and error. And as you move on now, you will be making fewer and fewer and fewer even perceived errors. Look at what I yell about now versus what I yelled about 3 years ago. And you will see you've grown. Or I have, one or the other. I prefer to think that it's you. Because you see, there's no training. I train a scribe. There's no training toward truth. Truth is. And you will experience it or you will deny it. I can offer it. I cannot force it. I can require that one's meet the needs if they're going to serve in certain capacities, no more, no less. And if they choose not to do that, then we have to come to some kind of a parting of the ways, a change of job, of what, something. But you see, time has passed now and you've experienced all these experiences. And therefore, you're back with the capability of serving toward fulfillment this time. And this is why you may slip back, especially ones just coming in and just beginning to experience may easily slip back and be caught up in doubts. And you can't come into the information and read 4 liberators and 2 journals and even begin to be anywhere along that road. But you can get that nudge that says, hey, I believe this is probably right, and look into it. So everybody can grow at their own rate of speed. But to read 2 journals and 5 expresses and deny it and tell the world this is wrong is absurd. And yet that's what the world hears, because the world is programmed to want to hear the negative. And so many false teachers have come forth from every pulpit preaching doctrines instead of God, that you don't know God when he shows up. You didn't have any perception as to who he was, what he is, and how you will experience that particular association. You didn't know about the universe. Even your astronomers didn't know that Neptune was out there until a century ago. And if it could be that way a century ago, what do you think is out there in the forever? Ah, yes, it's glory. And you don't have a pecking order and a hierarchy. You only have ones who know a little bit more. A little bit more wisdom, a little bit more growing, a little bit more experience, older, who have walked the same path and learned. And if I do not do a good job, how can I ask you to do a job at all? If I do not require that you attend self in the worthiness that I know you hold, how can I ask you and expect you, and how can you expect to pronounce your great unwisdom on those asking you for guidance? Because always it is the elder brother that must guide. It's Penny and Russell who must guide that baby. And if they guide that baby wrong, that baby is going to guide those that come after her wrong. That's what's happened. It's time now that we begin to set those wrongs into correct perception. And God will give you something that can be proven. I don't mean great magic or show and tell. I mean in the way you have sunk into this mire, you're going to have to come out of it through proof in your own earthly experience. The rest is magic, and you still will have the doubts. You see the craft every night. Every one of you go out there and you can see us all over the skies. But you sure would like it in your yard. How about just a little quick flyby? Well, it's funny. This morning when we parted ways, you didn't say that. You said, do you mind if I have a little rest? You know, get out of my life for 2 hours maybe? So you're dwellers in 2 planets, dwellers in 2 worlds. You're standing on the threshold of 2 experiences. And it's hard for you. At least these of evil intent are in one world. They're locked there. They cannot function outside it. So yours is a lot the more interesting of the 2 journeys. You just have to be patient. Any other urgent, critical, anything that we should share before we adjourn this?
Commander, just one question, please. I'm very thankful for being invited here today. It's my first time here. In my journey that's brought me here, I, in 1969, got involved in the subject of Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard was a person who, in his earlier tapes, claimed that he was in constant contact with space ships commanders, traveled to the Van Allen belt and so on, had very vital data, which so much is confirmed right here, and the subject of a prisoner planet was introduced to me in that year, December of 1969, it resonated with me. I saw the truth of that. Became a very avid participant in the subject. It seems to me, though, that the man was not all that he claimed to be, and somewhere along the line there was a major betrayal. And I was wondering if you have any comment on that, especially since he liked to call himself the commander also.
Yes, I would like to.
Thank you.
I would like very much to comment on that. Yes. Whatever you want. I run over a little bit. But don't start another tape. I don't want to wear out my welcome. The Church of Scientology says it all. Now, I'm going to make a contradictory statement. Please understand what I say. Really say. For the human consciousness, this was one of the greatest gifts brought forth, were the teachings as brought to Hubbard and through him. I cannot tell you about Van Allen belts and things like that. I can tell you that he very definitely was in communication with higher beings or lower beings, whichever one you want to consider. You see, this is something interesting about the adversary. So much truth will come, but the adversary's intent is always to perfect the human, the physical. Hopefully to distract the human physical into what they would call the full potential of the human. And somehow there is that subtle promise of eternity in this state of greatness. But they're usually very careful not to word it that way, because they promise you everything, but they produce you nothing outside the physical. Well, many things can be done within the physical emotional structure of a growing being. Let us talk about positive thought. You see, you're handling an emotion which responds physically. But if all your goal is to perfect this human physicalness, you've missed the boat. You have not gone on into what if you're without this physicalness. The assumption is, and often the wording is, that it'll be greater out there. But knowledge will tell you that the two are separate, housed in one container. This is why I can tell you, I don't care what you eat. If you care, then you eat what you want. Make sure your intent is pure. Give honor to that, whatever it is that you intake into your own machinery. Because something, be it a plant or an animal, had to give that to you. And you have no right. And it's wrong if you don't give respect and reverence to anything that gives unto you. But you cannot integrate those two things into oneness, soul and physical. And ultimately, the physical passes away over and over and over and over again. The only lasting thing you have is the soul. So very often, when you have failed in your journey, you start looking and seeking for a more fulfilling self that somehow then transcends into soul. And then in the physical atmosphere, we have an organization that will form around these beings. And now we have a church. Now we have, let us just say, though, that in the Church of Scientology, they at least did it right. It's a business. And it was good thought for business to make it a church, for I think the obvious reasons. I honor ones who write and allow the physicalness of man, the emotional ego of man, to rise to some level of self-respect. But when it goes beyond self-respect into the ego control of another, then it's gone too far. And you know then that it has separated from God's intent. Any time that it deviates from those laws laid forth by creation in total balance and harmony, and sanctions behaviors that then encourage the outrageous growth of, or the attitudes of, or disrespect of anything of the creation, it's incorrect. Does it start out being that way? I don't have a way, nor would I judge. But I can tell you this, from what the produced end result was and is, the guidance was not of God. Because God would not have guided into the physical morass and restrained the growth even of ones within an indoctrinated system. God allows. So, thank you. The delightful part, and what you are feeling as excitement, and what you're feeling, you know, a little bit of remorse for maybe handling situations immaturely, I don't want to dwell on those things. Those are earth limitations, typical experiences. And you're not expected to be superhuman, just intending to grow beyond those limitations. What you are anticipating and in a way eagerly awaiting are the signs, the earthquakes, the signs of the times. Because at some level of understanding, you know, this is when your service really comes into full flower. And none of you are noted for patience. And you can look out there and you can see, what can you produce? Can you, Sandy, Rick, Ed, Bob, can you personally alone go out and start $500 to $800 million of business? Well, these are the things we have to look at. And as each one looks, you can't see getting over that hurdle. This is the one problem that we had. We already had things going. But as George and Desiree came into the picture, Desiree immediately assumed, since these ones didn't have anything, it would be totally up to them. Well, these are burdens you don't have to bear. God is not going to shower it down on you, but you do have to be prepared to be able to receive it and use it. And these ones were willing to do that. And now ones pitch in and help. So that when the work is done, the wherewithal can flow, and it can flow properly, reasonably, with expectation. You may not go out and expect something for nothing. And that's what ones always start out on this journey saying. This is typical of Wally Gentleman. But we need at least $50,000 before I can consider thinking about this thing. No, you think about it and put it down, and then we'll get the $50,000 when you need it. But I like it ready, right there. I mean, I may need to get somebody to do something. Well, let's cross that bridge when we get there. Well, I don't want that insecurity. I understand that. And now you're ready for the next $300,000. You're going to need it right away. But I can deal with $300,000 right away. Maybe not this afternoon, but you don't need it this afternoon because you're not prepared to receive it this afternoon. Don't tell me a big lie about it. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to cover these bases. And then your belief and trust that you will get what is required because you're ready for it. Then it can flow, not until then. So you block your own progress. You become impatient, and your impatience stops it from happening. This is the only what if that I want to hear, is the positive. What if we get it all done and we have the people lined up to start digging the holes? Well, that's not going to help unless you've gone to the landowner and at least ask him to consider, will he sell the land? And then you're going to have to deal with the planning commission. So you're going to have a plan. I can't give you $33 million to start a cellular cement molded housing factory here when you don't even know what you put in the stuff. Oh, boy, I will feel a lot better about it, though, Hatton, when I have the $33 million. And where, pray tell, are you going to park $33 million? I have a lot of volunteers, but I said park it. I didn't say go spend it. Steward it. What are you going to do with it? How many of you know somebody who can handle multi-billions of dollars in some kind of a trading program internationally? Well, aren't you lucky? EJ and Dorma do. So we can kind of work through there a little bit if, in fact, it comes before you are ready with the bulldozer to dig. But it helps to know where you're going to find the bulldozer. These are the things that all of you can do. You can be looking around for the resources, the properties. Doesn't mean you have to go out there and make big, long, lifelong commitments. But you can find out, you see. You don't need to now. We've done it. We know where the wells are. And we know the ratio of water that goes into this town and is allowed for irrigation. And we know the swap-offs. We also know that in the beginning, they're not going to bottom out the prices on real estate, so we'll probably have to pay full price for a lot of these good properties. But if you've got $500 million sitting there and you don't know what to do with it, I think it's better to go ahead and pay the price for the property and face the consequences and let that nice landowner. Hopefully you go to landowners that are worthy of the trust of receiving, that have given something so that the reward can be pleasant to you and not represent some ripoff by the RTC or something. So there are a lot of things to be considered, and a lot of things have been considered. And in your impatience, sometimes you forget to see that. And in the workload, plus just the better part of discretion, you don't give your enemy the advantage. Silence is the best approach. So suffice it to say, at this moment, all I can tell you is that it's happening. Years and years of work. Years and years of hard work. And relationship building. And making connections. Do you think that, be it the Philippines or Atlantis off Crete or out of the mountain underneath Peru, how about Sedona? Do you think they're going to hand over several billion dollars to you without knowing any more than you are a bunch of something out in some place you can't spell or pronounce? Who claims to talk for some fourth-dimensional Hatton? No, you're going to have to find that group that already knows who Hatton is. And then both sides of that group have to come into full recognition. They're guardians in charge, charged with the responsibility of this very kind of funding. And most of it's going to come from the most logical earth sources possible into good producing projects. That's your security. And this takes time. And every day, 1,000 things can impact it. And it would always seem that it slows it down, never speeds it up. On the other hand, Colonel Greitz said something to me. He was in a real pickle in Cambodia, and he needed to get out, or he needed to do something. And then things began to go wrong, and everything had been going so right. And so he cried out, "My God, when things are going so right, how can it be? And God very loudly, succinctly, where he could hear it very well, said, "What do you expect when you have not been willing to do the small things I asked you to do?" And he said to me, "Well, brother, I'll tell you one thing." And this was only like 2 weeks ago. He said, "Ever since I heard that voice, I have pled. I have pleaded. Just let me hear it again." And I said, "Fine. How does it go, Bo?" And he said, "I salute you, sir." You're worthy, or you would not be chosen. Don't do yourself in. Don't sell yourself short because you feel unworthy to reap rewards for your service. Don't feel your service is lowly. There is no such thing. There's only service. And when those egos can be put to rest so that all service is equal, then we're over the hurdle and we can receive and we can get on with our work. We owe that much to our brothers here. We don't have to do it, but we accepted the commission to do it, to share the word. But we don't have to do it. And it's out there. Man could find enough truth to find himself his way home with just what we put out there. So if our journey got interrupted this day, we would have served, and we would have served well. That doesn't mean that if we don't do any more and our service ends next year, the year after, that we would have done all we could. So we can't ever lean back and ride the waves that someone else is making. Maybe your destiny, as badly as you hate to face it, may be to make those waves at the point. And whoever's willing to be up there, I'm right there too. It's not like you thought. It's better. The way you perceive it to be is Dullsville. I mean boring. And it isn't even pleasant and fun getting there. With all of the wondrous things that the wealthy can acquire and the physical pleasures and lusts they can satisfy, there is hell on this earth. There is no joy. We're having fun, and we're going to have a lot more. And I can't help it if you can't accept it, that it could be you. That's your problem, not mine. But I'm disappointed in you. Because for one thing, I don't want anybody in my crew to think that I would choose so carelessly. That lowers my command. I know better. And like the parent that treats the child with respect, he will reap respect in return. And the child will be more wondrous than the father and mother expected. So I don't have any trouble with you. I wish you didn't. Anybody want to argue with me? Thank you.
I just wanted to say one thing before you left. I wanted to express gratitude for the meditation that I took part in last Thursday night. It was nice to be a part of a group with the goal of learning to take the power that we really have to make a difference upon the plane of earth, as we agreed to do when we came. In 1978, I give thanks to God constantly for giving me the keys to the kingdom through a class I took that was taught by Don Beaumont. We all have the opportunity to learn and to really make a difference and help Eitan and Eitan in making this planet through this time. Thank you.
Thank you, and I would like to acknowledge Don. It has been a long time in getting to the point where, quite frankly, that I felt there wouldn't be a pull from the direction that I am having to lay down. Because as ones began to come together, each wanting to give in service, can only pull from the training and the directions that they have experienced. And now you can go into that type of experience and sharing, and your direction is defined. Your goal can be laid out there where you can look at it. And it allows us to move together rather than in fragments, according to various and sundry teachers. I assume I have to be considered a teacher. My job is not really to teach. It is to bring you remembering capability of what you already know. But as ones have been searching for the truth in its wholeness, you are unable to go directly to a resource. You could not have come to Dharma. I wasn't even around her in her consciousness until 4 or 5 years ago. So you go searching where you're drawn, and you cannot fulfill your mission now without those experiences. There's no way. You had to have those experiences. So don't be saying, well, if I hadn't done that, or I wish I'd done the other, or I shouldn't have done that. No, you did what you needed to do to get you here today, right here today. I know Al will say to me, well, I didn't need to have so many of those experiences. Well, I suggest you think about that. Obviously, you did. You don't make errors. You have lessons. And if you get hung up on them and perceive that I cannot do this because I might make an error, then you've really made one. If you learn all you can, and you know your direction, and you know your goal, and your heart is set, and your subconscious is programmed toward that goal, You're going to get there. And yes, there will be perturbations along the way, and you will even perceive them as errors. But a child must learn by trial. He doesn't always have to make the error, but it's usually a course of trial and error. And as you move on now, you will be making fewer and fewer and fewer even perceived errors. Look at what I yell about now versus what I yelled about 3 years ago. And you will see you've grown. Or I have, one or the other. I prefer to think that it's you. Because you see, there's no training. I train a scribe. There's no training toward truth. Truth is. And you will experience it or you will deny it. I can offer it. I cannot force it. I can require that one's meet the needs if they're going to serve in certain capacities, no more, no less. And if they choose not to do that, then we have to come to some kind of a parting of the ways, a change of job, of what something. But you see, time has passed now and you've experienced all these experiences. And therefore you're back with the capability of serving toward fulfillment this time. And this is why you may slip back, especially ones just coming in and just beginning to experience, may easily slip back and be caught up in doubts. And you can't come into the information and read 4 liberators and 2 journals and even begin to be anywhere along that road. But you can get that nudge that says, hey, I believe this is probably right, and look into it. So everybody can grow at their own rate of speed. But to read 2 journals and 5 expresses and deny it and tell the world this is wrong is absurd. And yet that's what the world hears. Because the world is programmed to want to hear the negative. And so many false teachers have come forth from every pulpit preaching doctrines instead of God, that you don't know God when he shows up. You didn't have any perception as to who he was, what he is, and how you will experience that particular association. You didn't know about the universe. Even your astronomers didn't know that Neptune was out there until a century ago. And if it could be that way a century ago, what do you think is out there in the forever? Ah, yes, it's glory. And you don't have a pecking order and a hierarchy. You only have ones who know a little bit more. A little bit more wisdom, a little bit more growing, a little bit more experience, older, who have walked the same path and learned. And if I do not do a good job, how can I ask you to do a job at all? If I do not require that you attend self in the worthiness that I know you hold, how can I ask you and expect you, and how can you expect to pronounce your great unwisdom on those asking you for guidance? Because always it is the elder brother that must guide. It's Penny and Russell who must guide that baby. And if they guide that baby wrong, that baby is going to guide those that come after her wrong. That's what's happened. It's time now that we begin to set those wrongs into correct perception. And God will give you something that can be proven. I don't mean great magic or show and tell. I mean in the way you have sunk into this mire, you're going to have to come out of it through proof in your own earthly experience. The rest is magic, and you still will have the doubts. You see the craft every night. Every one of you go out there and you can see us all over the skies. But you sure would like it in your yard. How about just a little quick flyby? Yeah. Well, it's funny. This morning when we parted ways, you didn't say that. You said, do you mind if I have a little rest? You know, get out of my life for 2 hours maybe? So you're dwellers in two planets, dwellers in two worlds. You're standing on the threshold of two experiences. And it's hard for you. At least these of evil intent are in one world. They're locked there. They cannot function outside it. So yours is a lot the more interesting of the two journeys. You just have to be patient. Any other urgent, critical, anything that we should share before we adjourn this?
Commander, just one question, please. I'm very thankful for being invited here today. It's my first time here. In my journey that's brought me here, in 1969, got involved in the subject of Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard was a person who, in his earlier tapes, claimed that he was in constant contact with space ships commanders, traveled to the Van Allen belt and so on, had very vital data, which so much is confirmed right here, and the subject of a prisoner planet was introduced to me in that year, December of 1969. It resonated with me. I saw the truth of that, became a very avid participant in the subject. It seems to me, though, that the man was not all that he claimed to be, and somewhere along the line there was a major betrayal. And I was wondering if you have any comment on that, especially since he liked to call himself the commander also.
Yes, I would like to.
Thank you.
I would like very much to comment on that. Yes. Whatever you want. They run over a little bit. But don't start another tape. I don't want to wear out my welcome. The Church of Scientology says it all. Now, I'm going to make a contradictory statement. Please understand what I say, really say. For the human consciousness, this was one of the greatest gifts brought forth, were the teachings as brought to Hubbard and through him. I cannot tell you about Van Allen belts and things like that. I can tell you that he very definitely was in communication with higher beings or lower beings, whichever one you want to consider. You see, this is something interesting about the adversary. So much truth will come, but the adversary's intent is always to perfect the human, the physical. Hopefully to distract the human physical into what they would call the full potential of the human. And somehow there is that subtle promise of eternity in this state of greatness. But they're usually very careful not to word it that way, because they promise you everything, but they produce you nothing outside the physical. Well, many things can be done within the physical emotional structure of a growing being. Let us talk about positive thought. You see, you're handling an emotion which responds physically. But if all your goal is to perfect this human physicalness, you've missed the boat. You have not gone on into what if you're without this physicalness. The assumption is, and often the wording is, that it'll be greater out there. But knowledge will tell you that the two are separate, housed in one container. This is why I can tell you, I don't care what you eat. If you care, then you eat what you want. Make sure your intent is pure. Give honor to that, whatever it is that you intake into your own machinery. Because something, be it a plant or an animal, had to give that to you. and you have no right. And it's wrong if you don't give respect and reverence to anything that gives unto you. But you cannot integrate those two things into oneness, soul and physical. And ultimately, the physical passes away over and over and over and over again. The only lasting thing you have is the soul. So very often, when you have failed in your journey, you start looking and seeking for a more fulfilling self that somehow then transcends into soul. And then in the physical atmosphere, we have an organization that will form around these beings. And now we have a church. Now we have, let us just say, though, that in the church of Scientology, they at least did it right. It's a business. And it was good thought for business to make it a church, for I think the obvious reasons. I honor ones who write and allow the physicalness of man, the emotional ego of man, to rise to some level of self-respect. But when it goes beyond self-respect into the ego control of another, then it's gone too far. And you know then that it has separated from God's intent. Anytime that it deviates from those laws laid forth by creation in total balance and harmony, and sanctions behaviors that then encourage the outrageous growth of, or the attitudes of, or disrespect of anything of the creation, it's incorrect. Does it start out being that way? I don't have a way, nor would I judge. But I can tell you this, from what the produced end result was and is, the guidance was not of God. Because God would not have guided into the physical morass and restrained the growth even of ones within an indoctrinated system. God allows. So